Hello and welcome to Minbar. I'm your host, Ahmed Hanif. Today, we are going to discuss the question of martyrdom in Islam. Why? Because we see a very deliberate and negative trend in the Western media especially to equate martyrdom in Islam with suicide. This misconception is no doubt aided by the very actions of some Muslims themselves, who blow themselves up while taking the lives of innocent people whom they consider as not following the truth as they see it. Thus, the ignorance of the concept of martyrdom is something that is not restricted to a hostile media, but is also found among some Muslims themselves. Martyrdom is not something exclusively Islamic. The concept is found in Christianity and Judaism, as well as in the other major religions of the world. Indeed, the concept is finding its way into secular culture to describe in metaphorical fashion those who give their lives in defense of ideals and beliefs that are held to be higher than the individual. It is interesting that in a modern world which holds religious beliefs and worldviews to be unimportant if not superstitious, martyrdom is seen as an act of fanaticism, whereas the same phenomenon of dying for one's country or a political ideal is seen as the ultimate act of bravery and self-sacrifice. So what is martyrdom from the Islamic perspective? And what differs martyrdom from a suicide attack? These and other questions in this regard we will attempt to answer with our esteemed guest, Sheikh Dr. Mehdi Hadavi Tehrani. Sheikh Hadavi is a teacher, an Ayatollah in the Hawza of Qom, the seminary of Qom. He is also an author of numerous books, a founding member of the World Council of Religious Leaders, which aims to arrive at a relationship of dialogue between the other religions. And he's also very active in the struggle for human rights. I'd like to welcome you to our show, Sheikh Hadavi, and we are quite pleased to have you here.
Thank you very much.
I don't think we could start the discussion on martyrdom without talking about or considering the concept of death. As you know, in modern society, death is seen as the ultimate loss, you know, the entrance into total oblivion. And so the loss of one's life or the taking of another life even is considered to be the ultimate act of cruelty. What is the concept of death in Islam?
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. You know, it is something possible that you were never born, but it is not possible when you are born not to taste the death. And it is something that everybody will reach to it. And in our points of view, I mean, in the Islamic point of view, and not only the Islam, but also the other religions, death is just going from one sphere and world to another one. You change your life, but it is not the end of anything. And it is, of course, the natural end for our life in this world, but it doesn't mean that it is the end of our existence. We will exist, but in another style, in another form, I can say, after death. And therefore, death is an important factor in all religions, especially in Abrahamian religions, and especially in Islam. Because you should know that whatever you are doing here in this world, it will have its results in other life that you will have after death. And this point has been emphasized in the religion, that you will reach to this end, and therefore you should prepare yourself for this end. And of course, everybody does not like to die. It is something, maybe I can say, so much dark for everybody to reach to such a thing, but it is a fact that everybody will reach to this. But you can decide about your death in some conditions. Because if you choose a special style of life based on some special values, then your death will be different from the one who has chosen another style of life with another values. And if you die now for these positive, nominant, glorious values, then your death will be a very glorious point of view, point in your life, while if you die in another style, with so negative and dark points, then your death will be a negative, dark end for you.
It's very interesting because you have a similar kind of an idea in Western culture, you know. How you die, how you live, so will you die. The way of your life,
it is a fact,
determines how you will
not
die.
Not only a Western point of view, it is a fact that you will die as you have lived. It is your life that it says how you will die. Because the death is the end of your life. If you have lived in a right path, then your death is a positive, glorious point. But if you have lived in a negative, dark path, then your death will be a negative, dark point.
Okay, now about the afterlife. Now, death, we've been talking about death as an inevitability.
Yeah.
And the type of your death is determined very much by the type of your life, or the type of your living. What about after death? This is something that Western secular type of thinking and religious thinking diverge. Western thinking thinks of death as the ultimate end, there's nothing after this, and religious thinking thinks of death as a continuation, but in another level.
Yeah, it is a different points of view about the death, because I don't say all of the secular points of view, but some of them, that they are based on the refusing the religious values, they say so, that the death is the end of your life. And it has been mentioned in Quran, of course, that the people at the time of the Prophet who didn't believe in Islam, they were thinking that the death is the end, while in religious points of view, well, the death is a beginning. Of course, it depends on your life, and you're deciding about your death, as you said, by deciding about your life. And therefore, I would like to reach to this point that martyrdom is a death, but for someone who has chosen a special way in life. And we should emphasize on this style of life to understand the concept of martyrdom in Islam.
So martyrdom comes because of a conscious choice by the person or the martyr to live a life or pursue an activity that would lead to a certain kind of death. Is that true?
You know, I would like to emphasize on this point that to kill yourself has been prohibited in all religions, especially in Islam. Suiciding has been prohibited in Islam. Because nobody has this right to end his life, even if it is his life, but he doesn't have this right to end his own life. And therefore, for a martyr, he is not looking for death. He is looking for life. He has chosen a special style of living, and he wants to continue this style, even in this world. Yes, he knows that he may end to this special end, which is martyrdom. But it doesn't mean that he has chosen this way because he wants to end his life, to commit suicide, to kill himself. No. These concepts have been refused by Islam. Mm-hmm. They have been rejected by Islam. They are all negative concepts in Islam.
So if I get you correctly, you're saying that a person who commits suicide wants to end his life completely, finally. He wants to be nothing. Whereas a martyr actually may lose his life, but he's seeking a continuation on a higher level, life on a higher level. Is that what you
No. I am not talking about the life after death. Now I am talking about the life before death.
Okay.
I say the one who has chosen this way that will end in martyrdom, it doesn't mean that he is looking for death. It doesn't mean so.
Mm-hmm.
It means that he has chosen a style of life in this world, and he wants to continue this life because he has chosen the style that he wants to resist in right path.
Right.
He wants to take care of the positive values. He wants to take care of the important concepts of human being in their lives. Therefore, he wants to continue this path in this world.
Right.
Yes, he is ready. If he is killed in this way, in his resistance, he is ready for this death. And yes, we accept this, that after this death, there is another life. And the life for the one who dies not as a martyr is totally different from the one who dies as a martyr.
So you're saying that a martyr does not seek death?
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't seek death?
Yeah, yeah. The one who is now a martyr, he was not looking for death, he was not seeking the death. He was really, really seeking the life. He was really wanted to resist in right path. He wanted to take care of the positive values, as I said. And I think if we understand this concept, we will find that it is totally positive that someone chooses a right path, some values, and he is ready to resist in this path, even if he's killed.
Now, what about, for example, a martyr, a would-be martyr, who deliberately chooses to undertake an action that would inevitably lead to his death? You know, for example, the commander tells the soldiers, you have to attack a particular enemy position, right, and you are not expected to come back alive. Wouldn't that be him actually seeking death, him going out courting death?
No. He is really seeking that value that he is now conflicting or fighting for that. It is just, I would like to mention an example. You may find someone that who believes in human rights, and he is looking, for example, for freedom of speech. And there is a society, a closed society, a dictatorship. He came to this society, he resists in this society because he wants to reach to freedom of speech, to freedom. He wants this value for all the human beings, not for himself only. And he knows that this government will kill him, but he will resist. Then he is not seeking the death, he is seeking the freedom.
I see.
This value.
Mm.
And he wants to live and to be free.
Mm-hmm. To live?
Yes, he wants, because freedom without life in this world, what is the meaning of this freedom? Then he is looking for, he is seeking the life, he is seeking the freedom, but he knows that in this atmosphere, in this society, he will be killed. It is an inevitable end for him, but he resists in this path. Then he wants to reach to that goal, which is the freedom. And of course, the freedom is valuable when you're alive. If you're dead, then there is no use for the freedom, because we're not talking about the life after death now. We are talking about the life before death.
Right.
Then I say, in Islam, the martyr is looking is seeking the values, the Islamic values, such as justice, such as peace. Sometimes it is necessary to be killed for taking care of peace. Even in human rights values, we will find the similar ideas that to take care of peace sometimes needs to resist, and when you resist, then it may end to your life, it may end to your death. But this death has not been seeken by the one who has come in this field. He has come to take care of freedom, to take care of peace, to take care of positive values.
Now, how you're describing martyrdom, it seems to me that you're describing martyrdom in terms of somebody seeing certain values and ideals as more important than their own individual life, that these values and ideals are important for the growth, the development of all human beings. In other words, these values and ideals are important to enhance the lives of people, and therefore his life is not as important as these values, and therefore he's willing to give this, his life, his most valuable thing, for these values. Now, could we say then that martyrdom could be extended in this way then to a non-religious goals? For example, on a relative level, you know, whether we agree or we don't agree with a particular ideology, let's say communism, is it possible to have something like a communist martyr, like Che Guevara, for example? Could he be considered as a martyr for socialism? Or could we see, for example...
Yeah, you know, Che Guevara has been admired,
yes,
because of his resistance,
yes,
and because of his death.
His death. Now, could we consider him as a martyr? Could we consider, for example, okay, Americans, the American government, considering American soldiers as martyrs because they are fighting for the freedom of American capitalism to dominate?
They say so. Even I would like to mention this, that they say so. They show that they are the martyrs, even if they do not use the word.
Right.
But they have used the concept. But the fact is that what goals did you have chosen in your life? Did you have chosen your life? Because it depends on your belief. You know, there is a very famous narration from the Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm not talking about its authenticity, but it is a fact. It says, "An al-hayat aqidatun wa jihad." It means the life is to believe and to struggle for this, for these beliefs. If you are alive, it means that you should have something to believe in it. If you do not believe in anything, then you're dead. It is really a death.
Right.
The death in its most negative sense, because you seem to be alive, but you're dead, because you do not have anything to believe in it,
yeah, to live
for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Then we need the belief to live for, not to die for only,
right,
to live for. And the other factor is to struggle for these beliefs, to try to reach to the goals in your life. Okay, if you have chosen the positive, divine values, concepts, as your beliefs, as your religion, as the way that you have chosen for your life, then in Quran it says, لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. It is the clean life. But if someone has chosen the negative values, which are not accepted by the divine aspects of the human beings, such as his own benefits, to neglect others' benefits, to enter in any kind of quarrel and war, to take care of his own advantages without seeking the others' advantages, and so on. Then this is hayatan khabisatan. It means it is a dirty life. Then it depends on your goals, on your objectives, on your values. The life is to believe and to struggle for these beliefs.
Now, when you say beliefs, do you include in these beliefs secular type beliefs? For example, you find a lot of Americans talking about freedom. A lot of Americans don't believe in God, but they believe in freedom. This is a belief. Now, somebody goes out and dies for that particular freedom, or struggles for that particular freedom. Would we consider such a person to be a martyr?
Of course, it needs another program to speak about freedom. What do we mean when we say freedom?
Okay, or any belief. Let's say, for example...
No. I would like to mention this point, that freedom has a misinterpretation, that it means it is just to let the people to do what they want. It means in its negative sense, to let them to be corrupted, to go towards a kind of life which is similar to the animal's life. But in another sense, freedom is to let the human beings to think freely, to decide freely, and to find what their soul is guiding them to reach to these values. Such as peace, as I said, as in positive value for all human beings.
Sheikh Alawi, I don't want to really get into the complexities of freedom. Let's say, for example, nationalism.
Yeah.
You know, some secular idea. Okay.
Such as nationalism. Yeah. Nationalism is not a positive value in our religious aspect.
I know. It's not a positive value in our religious aspect, but it is a belief.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and
the one who is the
and a man who's who has a belief as a nationalist, even though it might be incorrect, I would presume, would be a much more powerful man, a much more, in a sense, complete man than a person who has no beliefs at all. You know, somebody who just lives like an animal. You know, wants to eat, drink, have pleasure, and whatever. Okay, now nationalism as a belief. Right, a person dying for nationalism, right? Would that person be considered a martyr?
Yeah, of course, he is a martyr for nationalism.
For nationalism.
Not a martyr which has been admired by God.
Right.
Because he is taking care of some values which are not so much important in religious aspects. Of course, nationality in its new concept has been rejected in Islam. But the idea of being a member of a society which is built based on the special points of view, special beliefs, this idea has been admired in Islam.
Okay,
the member of the Ummah.
I have to cut you here because we have to take a quick break.
Okay.
We continue right after this news break. Welcome back. And we have with us tonight Ayatollah Sheikh Dr. Hadavi Tehrani talking about the concept of martyrdom in Islam. Now, Sheikh, a nationalist dying for his cause, a fascist or a communist dying for his cause, are they martyrs from an Islamic point of view?
No, they are not martyrs because they haven't chosen the right path.
Mm-hmm.
It is the answer.
Okay.
As I said, the martyrdom is based on the values that you've chosen in your life. If you have chosen the right path, then it will be a martyr. But if you have chosen the not right one, the wrong one, then it is not a martyr.
And I assume, but what do you mean by the right path would be the right path from an Islamic point of view, a religious point of view?
Yeah,
correct.
From the point of view, in the Islamic point of view, when we call right path, we mean the path that has been emphasized by God, have been introduced by the Prophet. They have said to us how to live, what to decide. And if we choose it, of course, it is based on our free will. As we know, the religion is based on our free will. If we choose this path, then we have chosen the right path. If we have chosen the right path, and one of the important points in this right path is to resist for the values of this right path. And most of these values are global values for all the human beings. If someone resists for these values, then and it ends to his their life and it ends to his death, then he will be the martyr.
I see. Now, what is the concept of martyrdom in Islam? The martyr in Islam?
You know, there is two different interpretations about martyrdom in Islam. One which has been introduced in fiqhi sources.
In the legal sources.
Legal sources, or in other sense we can say in Islamic law. Mm-hmm. It is a very restricted sense. It's a very restricted concept. It is especially for the one who is killed in the battlefield, in a battle which has been accepted by Islamic values, not every kind of battles, and he was killed by the enemies in this battle. But there is another interpretation about martyrdom in Islam, which is very, it has a very different categories, I can say. All the people who they resist for their religious values, for their Islamic values, and these resistance ends to their death, it comes to their death because they are resisting in this path, then they are martyrs. Even some of the people that they may not have so much important kind of life, because of some kinds of death, they are supposed to be as martyrs, such as innocent people who are killed in a battlefield and they are not
combatants.
Oh. They are not the military forces and therefore they are killed without any special scene, and these people are supposed as martyrs. Even...
But you said on the battlefield, innocent people are killed on the battlefield?
Or because of a war.
I see. So if, for example, an American cruise missile lands in the bazaar of Tehran...
And many people are killed, and these people are supposed martyrs.
I see.
And even for some natural disasters, such as an earthquake, the people who are killed in this earthquake, they are also supposed martyrs because they were innocent and they were killed because of this natural disaster. And therefore, there is two different interpretations about martyrdom. One is so much restricted in a special border, which is very special legal term. And it has its legal terminology. And of course, there are some special conditions for that and some special sequences for this kind of martyrdom. Another interpretation about martyrdom as a positive value, which has a vast categories, and it contains many different groups of people, and we can say all the one who are killed for their religious values because they have resisted in this path, or the people who have they are killed innocently in a war in an attack. We are supposed as a martyr. Of course, they are not really martyr, but they are supposed as martyrs.
I see. Which brings me to the second, or the next question, not the second, the next question, which is now, you have somebody who loads up a car with bombs, and he drives it, let's say, for instance, he's a Takfiri, and he drives it into a Shia bazaar and explodes the car. He kills himself and other people whom he believes are devils anyway, innocent people, men, women, children, and so on. It seems to me that it contradicts both of these two categories, you know, because one, it's not on the battlefield, you know, and two, there are other people who are victims of that becoming martyrs. What is your take on suicide bombing?
You know, committing suicide, as I said in the beginning of our talk, is a negative value. It has been forbidden in Islam as a legal point of view. It has been rejected in Islam as a concept. And this thing that is this example, the special example that you're talking about, is really a suicide. And suicide is
not... Is it really?
It is.
I mean, look at it this way.
You know, maybe different points of view has different interpretations about one act. But if we refer to the main sources of Islam, the one who comes to this special example that you're talking about, he comes to a bazaar and he kills the innocent people because he doesn't accept their interpretation about Islam. Mm. Shia are a group of Muslims, as the Sunnis are groups of Muslims. They have different interpretations of Islam. Of course, there are many, many common points between them, but there are some differences. Now someone comes to kill the others, because he thinks that they have different interpretation about Islam, and because he thinks that they are not Muslims because of these different interpretations. Then he is in mistake, and what he has done is really suicide. And he is not admired as a martyr at all, because the martyr is the one who is taking care of the religious positive values. And Islam has accepted the differences between Muslims. Of course, all of them are Muslims in our point of view, even if we say some of them, they have incorrect interpretation about Islam. We respect them as Muslims, even if we do not accept their interpretation about Islam. Not only about the Muslims. You know, for a Muslim, even a non-Muslim, a Christian,
right,
a Jew, who is living in an Islamic society, and he has accepted the Islamic government, for example, in Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, Christians, Jews, they are living in Iran, and they have accepted this form of government. They are respected, even if they are not Muslims, even if their belief is not accepted by the Muslims. We do not believe in their beliefs.
Right.
Of course, we respect Christianity as it has been mentioned in Quran. But in this special example, the one who commits suicide like this, in our point of view, he has done something which has been forbidden by God.
What about in the context of a military operation? Okay, here's a suicide bomber. He thinks he's doing a military operation. Just like, for example, a soldier, right, belonging to, let's say, an army that might be against Islam or against an Islamic society. These soldiers coming and attacking innocent people, right? It's a military operation, but it's a military operation against civilians. How could we evaluate, what is the Islamic point of view of a suicide attack as a military operation against non-combatants? Does Islam allow for attacks upon non-combatant people? Does Islam allow for attacks upon innocent, non-combatant men, women, and children?
You know, if, for example, the land has been occupied and the people, the Muslims who are living there, they do not have any special way to defend themselves, and they do not have any kind of special weapons to do this, any kind of special powerful army to do this, then they find there is no other choice for them except such a thing. Then, if there is no other choice and it is the only way to defend themselves, they can do this. But if this is not an example for defense, then it is not accepted. If they have the army, and if there are the combatants that they can participate in a war, and they can defend without this kind of activities, then it is not permitted. But if there is no other choice, and they could not resist, they could not defend themselves, except through this kind of activities, it has been permitted in this special condition, restricted in this special framework.
Now, is this condition restricted to fighting against military personnel, or does it include fighting against non-military personnel?
No, it is, of course, the main purpose is to defend. Mm. And for defense, they need to work against the military personnel. But it may be harmful for non-combatants.
But that's not the deliberate aspect.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It is the most important one, that they do not want to kill the civilians, innocent civilians. And even if they want to kill the military personnel, they do not have any other choice except this one. Because when someone participates in suicide bombing, he knows that he will be killed. Mm. And it is different from the soldier who comes to a battle and he knows that he will be killed. Because this soldier, he may know that in this battle he will be killed, but he doesn't know, at least there is a probability not to be dead because of some special events. But when he is participating in a suicide bombing, for example, he knows that he will be killed, and he knows that it is a suicide. And therefore, if there is other choices, he is not permitted to do this, because you know, suicide, as I said, it is forbidden in Islam. Mm. And nobody can commit a forbidden way in any area except when there is no other choice and he has a more important value that he wants to take care of that. Then he sacrificed this value for that one. Mm. Only in this special restricted framework, as I said.
Because, you know, this brings me to the question of, for example, you know, in the West, in Americans, for example, they tend to consider organizations like the Hezbollah to be terrorist organizations because of the fact that you had a couple of incidents where somebody with a truck loaded a truck up with dynamite and drove it into an American military compound and exploded the truck and himself, and killed a number of American soldiers, right? You had them doing the same thing with the Israeli occupation forces in Lebanon. And the West tends to put all of this in one big lump and call it all suicide bombing, calling this a suicide bombing and an act of terrorism, and also calling, for example, the act of Zarqawi and Al-Qaeda and so on, where innocent people are concerned, attempts made in the West, the bombing, in the train bombing in England and so on, right, as also suicide bombing. They put them all together. How do we distinguish between both? How do we distinguish between, for example, the act of Hezbollah right? And it was and the act of a couple of so-called Muslims walking into a train, the metro, the subway system, and blowing themselves up and hundreds of other people.
In London.
Yes. How do we distinguish between the two of them? Is the West correct in lumping them all together? Or should we emphasize that there's a distinction between them, if there is?
We should differentiate between these examples, because, for example, the issue of Lebanon and Hezbollah, when they are attacked by these enemies, by the American soldiers, by the Zionist regime, and they do not have any other choice to defend themselves except this way, then it has been permitted, as I said. But the one who does this similar thing, for example, in the London train, in metro, there is no land which has been occupied there. And this is not the way to reach to the goals that he is calling them, he is trying to reach to them. Or the one who is killing the innocent people in Iraq, for example, in Zarqawi and his group. They are killing the people in Baghdad, for example, in Bazaar, while they are the innocent people, they are doing their ordinary life, and they do not have any role in the problems that now the Iraq is facing. They have not occupied the land. It is their own land. They are living in Iraq because they are Iraqis. Yes, if they do something like this against the American soldiers in Iraq, because they have occupied the Iraqi land and because they do not have any other option except this, then it will be permitted, you know, because this will be a kind of resistance if they kill the soldiers because they have occupied the land. But if they kill the innocent people because they are Shia and they believe that this school of thought, Ahlul Bayt school of thought, is not a correct school of thought, then they are in mistake and they should correct themselves. And now what they are doing, it is really a crime and it has been prohibited in Islam. And if somebody kills himself, suicide, then it has been forbidden in Islam, and he has done something that it will end to the hell, not to the heaven.
What is the role of ulama in this? Are there many ulama coming out and speaking out against, suicide attacks against innocent people? Are there many ulama coming out against that? Or,
you know, I think if you refer to the ulama, contemporary ulama, that they are participating in the social efforts, you will find that most of them, I can say all of them, they have differentiated between different conditions. They have accepted the idea that I said, that if there is a suicide bombing, and this suicide bombing is for defense, and there is no other option, then it is accepted. But if there is a suicide bombing to kill the innocent people because they have different idea, because they have different school of thought, then it has been forbidden. We cannot kill the other non-Muslims which are in peace with us. We cannot kill this Christians or Jews because they are Jews or Christians. How can we kill the other Muslims because they have different ideas? Never Islam has accepted the idea, and of course, the Shia ulama always have refused this idea that sometimes some of the Sunni alims, they have accepted that you are permitted to kill the non-Muslims. Never accepted this. This idea has never been accepted by Islam, that you can kill the others because of their beliefs. They are living their own life. They do not interfere in your affairs. They have different beliefs.
Now, there are another thing here. Okay, there's one type of suicide bombing or suicide attack, I would rather say, against people who have a different belief. There's another idea that says that believes that a suicide attack is justified against the population of a hostile country. You know, so for example, some of these people think that okay, Americans have invaded Afghanistan and have invaded Iraq. You know, so therefore it is justified to mount a suicide attack in America, in New York City, you know, or in England, or in Spain, or what have you. What is the official point of view on that from the Shia ulama point of view?
You know, we think that if the Afghanistan has been occupied, if there is an invasion in Iraq and Iraq has been occupied, it is a crime, but it is the crime of the government. And the innocent people, they are not responsible for this. Yes, they may have chosen this government, they may have elected this government because of their ignorance. We should try to inform them, but they are not responsible for the government's activities. Therefore, it is not permitted to kill the innocent people in New York City or in London because their government has done a mistake, has committed a crime. We never accept the idea. The responsibilities of the government are only restricted in the framework of the government. Even if the people have elected this government, they are not directly responsible for the government's activities. Yes, as I said, we should inform them. We should change their opinion. We should let them know about the facts and to change them, to make them to come from ignorance to the knowledge, to the light.
Now we running out of time, but my last question is, because we are bombarded by this idea, the quit martyrdom, just martyrdom, real martyrdom, with suicide, they lump them all together, the media. They try to create a sense of hostility towards Islam. Why do you think this is happening? And what should be the Muslim response to it?
You know, I think this is a kind of the scenario which has been done in several issues that they have tried to misinterpret the positive values into a negative one and to introduce a negative image about Islam. And our response is to refer to the main sources of Islam and to the scholars of Islam and to ask them about the idea of martyrdom and who is the martyr and why we accept the concept of martyrdom while we reject the concept of suicide. We accept this one and reject that one while they are sometimes so much similar, but they are totally different.
Thank you for joining us once again.
Thanks.
And we were talking with Ayatollah Sheikh Hadavi Tehrani about the issue of martyrdom in Islam. And it seems to have become clear to us that the question of martyrdom in Islam is something very precise. It is about values. It is about ideals. It is about justice. I hope you have enjoyed our discussion today. And if you have any questions regarding our show, please contact us at MINBAR at PressTV.IR. Once again, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you same time, same channel on Minbar.